She's been a clue on Jeopardy and in the New York Times crossword puzzle. She's been a contestant on To Tell the Truth and a question in Trivial Pursuit. Reporter Jeff London says you might not know Marnie Nixon's name, but you've probably heard her.
Quick, what does this voice?
Shall we dance?
Have in common with this voice?
Tonight, tonight.
And this voice?
I could have danced all night. I could have danced.
They're all the same voice. Singer Marnie Nixon dubbed the voices for Deborah Carr in The King and I, Natalie Wood in West Side Story, and Audrey Hepburn in My Fair Lady, three of Hollywood's biggest movie musicals. She's written a memoir, I Could Have Sung All Night, that's being published this week.
The book I wrote because everybody was always asking me questions about the dubbing and what it was like. You know, I didn't know you did that.
Marnie Nixon, at 76, has had a career that defies categorization. She's performed on Broadway and in opera houses, hosted an Emmy Award-winning children's television show, and she's a well-regarded singing teacher in New York City. Born in Southern California, Nixon became a sought-after singer by the time she was a teenager for her perfect pitch and ability to read any piece of music handed to her, no matter how difficult. She even premiered works by composers like Igor Stravinsky.
He had a very funny sense of humor, and at lunches he would talk about wines and things that we had no idea about, even drinking, and just things that interested him.
Because she was such an excellent musician, Marnie Nixon worked constantly, dubbing voices for Hollywood studios. In 1954, she got a call to ghost Deborah Carr's voice in The King and I.
Somebody actually died who had been hired to do her voice, and they were suddenly stuck, and the musical director, Ken Darby, called me and said, I think you can do this. We're going to send you a recording of her voice. You assess it overnight, come in tomorrow and sing it for us, which I did, and then they sent that to Richard Rodgers, and he approved of it, and so then in about a week I was hired.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you, getting to like you, getting to hope you like me.
Deborah Carr understood she needed to be dubbed, and Nixon says their relationship was very collegial.
Whenever there was a song to be sung in a scene, I would get up and stand next to her and watch her while she sang, and she would watch me while I sang. After we recorded that song, she would have to go to the filming of it and mouth to that performance. So she had to be very aware of what she was going to do and how she was going to sing the song ahead of time.
Stephen Cole, who co-authored Nixon's memoirs, says she never got official credit for her work on The King and I. In fact, the studio, 20th Century Fox, was so protective of Deborah Carr that they threatened Marnie Nixon.
They told Marnie, if this ever gets out and you tell anyone, you'll never work in this town again. And it scared her. But she did sign the contract saying that she would never tell anybody. It came out in the press because Deborah Carr said to her later on, well, I never signed that contract.
While Deborah Carr was willing to credit Nixon, things were not so friendly with Natalie Wood on West Side Story. Wood was aware that Nixon was recording tracks, but thought only certain high notes would be substituted, not her entire vocal, says Stephen Cole.
She was lied to from day one, Natalie Wood. And in fact, they did pre-recordings in the same studio with the same orchestra where Natalie would do a song and then Marnie would do the same song. Marnie thought it was barbaric because Natalie was not good. And everyone would tell her she was wonderful, she was fabulous, knowing that they would not be using her tracks.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay. And I pity any girl who's in me today.
There's even a moment in West Side Story where Marnie Nixon sings with herself. Rita Moreno, who was playing Anita, was being dubbed by singer Betty Wand.
And they both had colds, when we were recording The Rumble. So Saul Chaplin, who was the musical director, said, well, Marnie, can you do Rita's voice? And so I said, sure. So I sort of colored my voice a little, and so then I ended up doing a duet with myself. Just a few measures there. Anita's going to get her kicks tonight. And then I'm going, tonight, tonight.
Nixon says she had a better working relationship with Audrey Hepburn on My Fair Lady, even though Hepburn, like Natalie Wood, expected most of her own vocals to be used.
She kept going to her voice lessons and trying to improve certain parts and re-record certain things. But she could also tell that she wasn't making it.
All I want is a room somewhere far away from the cold night air. With one enormous chair, how wouldn't it be lovely?
It was after she worked on My Fair Lady that Marnie Nixon finally got some public recognition for being a ghost.
And suddenly Time Magazine called and they said they wanted to do an interview with me, and they had found out about the dubbing. So they came instead of a photographer and they dubbed me the ghostess with the mostest. Bad rhyme, but that sort of stuck, you know.
In the more than 40 years since My Fair Lady, Nixon's only appeared in one movie, The Sound of Music, as Sister Sophia, one of the nuns who sing How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria.
When I'm with her, I'm confused, out of focus and bemused.
Co-author Stephen Cole says Marnie Nixon was still a ghost, as far as the public was concerned.
When she did finally appear on the screen in The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews, she went to the premiere and she got out of her car with her red hair and they all screamed and then they looked at her and said, oh, it's nobody.
Marnie Nixon hopes her new book will set the record straight. For NPR News, I'm Jeff London in New York.
Marnie Nixon tells more of her story on NPR.org, where you can also hear her sing I Feel Pretty and Wouldn't It Be Lovely. This is NPR's Weekend Edition, directed by Ned Wharton, with production help from David Rector, Aline Heinzman, Jesse Baker, Lauren Krantz, and Jocelyn Frank. Rob Schaefer edited the show today. Stu Seidel is the senior editor. The senior producer is Robert Molesky. Our technical director is Burke Hunn, with audio engineers Rob Byers and Stu Rushfield. Our reference librarian is Key Molesky. Our theme music was written by B.J. Lederman, with additional music from Steph Scajari and Greg Smith. I'm Leanne Hansen.